It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Hour number 2 underway. It's Baron Russell on Fan Run Radio today. And Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Matlock Tire. Sunday night's game between Kansas City and Tampa Bay will continue to be held at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa as originally scheduled. NFL had selected U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis as a contingency site for the game after the Bucs had evacuated the area because of Hurricane Ian. So this is weird, man. Tampa gets spared and the rest of the state ends up getting hammered. Exactly. Number 2, the NCAA placed Air Force's football program on probation.
What?
For 2 years today and issued other penalties for recruiting violations committed during COVID-19 dead periods. NCAA and the Air Force Academy and 4 individuals involved in the alleged violations reached an agreement with enforcement staff about penalties. A 5th unnamed individual is fighting the allegations, and his case will be resolved through an infractions hearing.
That's very surprising. I would have figured that one of the service academies, that they just basically, like, the penalties within the academy for getting caught not following rules is usually very a lot more severe than anything the NCAA hands down.
Who is the coach there?
Troy Calhoun?
Yeah.
Right? Legendary coach. Oh. These guys, none of these guys, they're all coaches.
Remember Hamilton, like, almost hired him?
Yeah.
Here? That would have been weird.
Hamilton's like
going to run the option or something.
Who all did Hamilton hire? Dooley?
Dooley, Kiffin, and Bruce.
He did hire Bruce? He
did hire Bruce. And Konzo.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like with Bruce, that was more Ernie.
Well, like Hamilton. I mean, he listened to him. I mean, Ernie told him to hire Bruce. Well, they hired Buzz him. And Doug Dickey didn't listen. At least Hamilton listened.
Oh, I would never was aware of that. He tried to get him to hire Bruce when we hired Buzz.
I don't know if it's Bruce. It's been so long. Like, the story was
Jay Wright kind of era.
Yeah, that's what it was. He told him to hire Jay Wright, and Doug Dickey didn't listen. He hired Jerry Green.
Oh, God.
Or Buzz or whatever it was. But, yeah. Listen to Ernie. Listen to him. He's trying to help.
Jay Wright.
But, yeah, Air Force getting NCAA probation. Maybe Troy Calhoun, maybe Nebraska should consider him.
That's something we ought to explore on another afternoon when there's not much going on. What would the Tennessee basketball program look like under Jay Wright for the past 20 years?
Number 3, Northwestern announced plans to build a new stadium for their football program. Campus will not require any taxpayer financing as it is entirely funded by a gift from the Ryan family.
Who the hell are the Ryans? Like Jack Ryan?
It's their benefactors.
Must have a lot of money.
I'll go check this out, too. Like, their stadium looks awesome.
Their new stadium?
Yeah.
Are you looking at architectural drawings over
artist
there?
Artist renderings, my friend.
You love them?
Love them. It looks very cool. And I understand their stadium is decrepit. So,
I mean, it's Northwestern.
Yeah. Well, they're cashing in that Big Ten money. They don't waste any time. And the Ryans, I guess.
Yeah.
Stroking that check.
I'm glad they aren't putting, they're in Chicago, correct?
Yeah, way north side, like further north than regular.
Basically, they're in Chicago.
Yeah.
They're a Chicago school, so I don't feel like you could put much more on the poor people of Chicago right now to pay for a stadium for a bunch of ultra-rich, ultra-smart kids that are.
Oh, it doesn't sound like they're going to.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Good for them. Yeah. Number 4, week 3 of the NFL season produced one of the strangest plays that football fans have ever seen. You seen the butt punt?
Yes. I mean, which one? There was the butt punt. There was the Garoppolo pulled a Orlovsky or whatever. He ran out the back of the end zone unknowingly. But go ahead with the first one, the butt punt.
The butt punt. Miami Dolphins punter Thomas Morstead kicked the ball right into the rear end of his blocker. The ball ricocheted out of the back of the end zone for a Buffalo Bills safety. After being initially scored as a blocked punt by the Bills defense, the play is now being officially scored as a punt for a loss of 1 yard by Morstead. and this has fantasy football implications.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Probably does in our league.
Many fantasy football leagues still roster defenses, and the Bills were among the top-ranked units entering the 2022 season. With that in mind, it's safe to assume that many fantasy managers started the Bills in their lineups last week because it's probably too early in the season to drop a defense just based on a rough matchup. So, yeah, there's some poor schmuck out there right now who won their game and is about to find out he won their game by a point or two, is about to find out a hard truth. God bless that guy. Love fantasy football.
A hard truth.
It's hard to accept. The truth is sometimes hard to accept. You know that more than anybody.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess I do. Kind of like when Danny Parker got
Raheem Mostert. Start Mostert. That is the top four at four, brought to you this afternoon by Matlock Tire. You can check them out online at MatlockTireService.com. Locally owned and operated since 1953. And whether you need new tires or you're just getting that next oil change and tire rotation, head to Matlock. I go to the Farragut location, sometimes the Hardin Valley location, but they've also got locations in Lenoir City, Maryville, and even down in Athens. And you can schedule your appointment. You can shop tires online at MatlockTireService.com. Don't forget, they're the home of the price match guarantee. That means you can bring in any competitor's ad, and they'll match the price of whatever tire you find at Matlock. Matlock Tire, going the extra mile for you. It's Russell and Bear today, breaking things down to levels that can only be described as beyond scientific. Our friend Lucas Panzeca of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville is going to join here in just a few minutes.
Yep.
If you want to jump in, 865-546-8200 is your number to get on board. We've got a Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question for you this afternoon. Checker Vandy, cool or cringe? 60.2% of the votes coming in on the side of cool. 39.8% say it is cringe. And I believe Bear and I are in a rare position of agreement. We say it's cringe. Wear orange. Wear orange, ladies and gentlemen. But we are in the minority here. 60% say do it. Now, are those 60% that are saying it's cool, they want it done, and they're sitting in the white section, or the either? Are they going to go out and buy a corresponding winter coat?
The people voting in our poll are probably not even going to the game, dude.
Some of them are.
They're going to be sitting on their couches watching.
What is it? That seats 40,000
ish in that neighborhood, yeah.
Over there, maybe 45. Vandy, they'll bring 10, right? So.
I've only been in that place one time in my entire life.
I saw a Dave Matthews show there.
Did you?
Years ago. Yeah.
I watched us obliterate them in the early 90s down there.
Didn't Pink Floyd play there on the Momentary Lapse of Reason tour? Fairly Division certain. Bell, maybe?
I saw that one in Atlanta, I think. I never saw Floyd in Nashville.
The Pink Floyd.
By the way.
Let's get back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines and talk to Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. What's up, Philly?
How you and Bird on?
Doing well. Thank you.
Bird did an outstanding job. 5 o'clock hour yesterday with Marcus.
Thank you, Philip.
I would expect nothing less.
Phil, did you ever see the Floyd live?
I like Floyd, but I don't know if I've seen it or not.
You can't remember. He might have been blown away.
Good music, though. Isn't
it? Yeah. And they don't ride them like that anymore.
That's a lot better than talking about Vanderbilt's commode stadium, you know.
What do you think about that, Phil?
It's snurgenic. Tennessee, you don't need to lower yourself to do that for scum like Vanderbilt.
Scum?
That's what they are. Even though we're 5-5 the last 10 years with them, they're still scum.
Are we really still 5-5 the last 10 years? Is that true?
I think it is.
Doesn't that just make you want to puke in your soup?
That's it. That puts us all in a nutshell, don't
we? We've hired some bums the past couple of years, Phil. I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, well, yeah, we sure have. And hopefully we're on a better track. It looks like that we're slowly getting there, don't we?
I mean, I don't even know if it's slowly. You know, we've talked for so long about elite coaches show it in year two. And here we are 4-0 with a great chance to go 5-0 in year two under Josh Heupel. That's a lot quicker than my expectations were. You know, my thoughts were this is going to be another 3 or 4 year project. And, I mean, we're sitting here talking about winning 9 or 10 games in year two. That is a pretty good indication of, you know, it's just a lot quicker turnaround than I thought we were going to have to sit through.
Well, we beat two teams that beat us last year, and that's a 180-degree progress from last year.
Big thing is we got to also make sure that we beat the teams that we did beat last year.
Yeah, can't backslide.
Huh. Like Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Missouri.
That's funny that Kentucky fan calls in. He don't even talk about Kentucky. Just wants to find a way to rip Tennessee. You ever notice that?
TJ?
Yeah.
How do you rip Tennessee?
Well, he does every phone call. Paying attention to it.
I pay attention every day. What did he say today that was ripping Tennessee?
He's a Kentucky fan.
What did he say today that's ripping Tennessee? I've asked you three times now, Phil. I mean, if you're going to say something, you got to have some evidence to back it up.
You want to do all that bull crap since you didn't work.
I'm asking for one piece of evidence. You don't attack me.
You attack me. You know what you're doing.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I'm asking you a question. You're saying that TJ, the Kentucky fan, calls in every day and rips Tennessee. I'm asking you.
He
just called in, Phil. Did you hear his phone call?
One time in 100, he don't rip Tennessee?
When has he ripped Tennessee? Name me one time.
He was talking baseball today. Y'all talking baseball earlier. That was nice.
When did he rip Tennessee? What did he say?
Huh?
When has he ever ripped Tennessee? Name me one time. Be specific. Tell me when he ripped Tennessee, and we'll talk about it.
Every time he calls in?
You say every time he calls in, and yet you can't name one specific time that he's ripped Tennessee. Phil, you're embarrassing yourself. This is rough, bud. You're having a rough
phone. You're embarrassing yourself by defending a Kentucky fan.
Well, I'm dealing in facts here. I mean, come on.
No,
help.
You're not dealing in facts. DJ Jefferson was no good, and he was the best player in the practice 2 days ago.
Okay, well, I could be wrong about
that.
Name me. I'm going to give you one more opportunity, Phil. Name me one time that TJ, the Kentucky fan, specifically took a shot at Tennessee in one of his phone calls.
I'll say this. If you like Kentucky, get your damn driving leg.
That was ugly. That was rough.
My boy went down in flames.
That was really rough.
I could have given him numerous examples.
Okay, do it.
Last week, what TJ does, and what a lot of people have noticed, he does it a lot, is he'll call in. He's super-duper nice. It's a killer move.
You're just stalling at this point.
He brought up the Dexter. He'll call in and bring up like the Dexter McCluster game with Ole Miss. He very subtly will bring up like a incredibly excruciatingly painful Tennessee loss, and then we start talking about it. And he just steps back like Homer Simpson into the shrubs.
You guys are so soft. Ripping Tennessee.
I wish that he would come at us.
Oh, my God.
And at least have balls like that Scott guy from the Tri-Cities did last week.
Do you have any other, like...
You think Scott will ever call us back? The Tri-City Gator?
I don't know. I don't care. I mean, Aussie Gator has called in. He's never taken a shot at us. You guys love him.
Yeah, because he's
is what?
Something about TJ. Aussie Gator's genuine.
So you're calling TJ fake?
Yes, fake as hell.
You guys are so soft, man.
He's faker than a football bat.
Softer
than
Charmin.
No, it's got nothing to do with being soft. Yeah, it's like, dude, you don't come over here talking.
He brought
up
the Dexter McCluster game, and it hurt my feet. It was a trigger.
It's not like this is an unpopular opinion around the water cooler, Russ. I don't know if you realize this. Not everybody that listens is a huge TJ in Kentucky fan.
That's okay. It's okay.
In fact, he's incredibly unpopular with most people.
No, stop. You and Phil and the boys at the drunk take.
Half the people that called, they called in the other day about it. You sat over there. You heard them.
Say what?
That they agreed with me when that whole thing blew up last week.
Half the people called in and agreed with you that they don't like TJ. You guys are so upset. It is hysterical to me.
You're an idiot.
Good point.
You're just a complete moron. Yeah.
I love it, though. We got to move beyond this, folks. We got to move beyond obsessing about Kentucky. We got to move beyond obsessing about Vanderbilt. Don't checkerboard Vanderbilt Stadium, folks. The target has to be. This is part of this is a growth process. This is part of the rebuilding process under Josh Heupel. This is part of the return to glory. A healthy Tennessee football program does not obsess about Kentucky and Vanderbilt. A healthy Tennessee football program obsesses about Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. That's where the attention has to turn. Full time, full stop. Kentucky and Vanderbilt have to go back to where they belong, which is in Tennessee's back pocket, Butch Jones. We own them. We own them, and we don't waste time trolling them or checkering their stadium or worrying about what their fans say online or on talk radio. We worry about finding a way to beat our arch rivals, the college football powers that have defined this conference and this sport for a long time. Georgia, Alabama, Florida. We're 1-3. We're 1-3 so far. That's what we need to focus on, folks. Stay with us. The drive continues. Lucas Panzeca of 104.5 The Zone continues next. Stay with us. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
So you're watching. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. It's Russell, it's Bear, it's you. It's Thursday as we cruise through this edition of the show. Tomorrow we'll be live out at National RX in West Knoxville, a Football Friday edition of the show. We'll have thoughts on the off week. It'll be nice. It'll be nice just to kick our feet up and let everybody else stress out about their teams. No wondering if we're going to be able to come back against whoever or hold on to a late lead or whatever. We just get to let everybody else enjoy a stressful weekend. And guess what? When the new polls come out on Sunday, Tennessee's still going to be undefeated and still going to be in the top 10. We'll have some Piping Hot Jets pizza for you as well. That's tomorrow, 3-6, out at National Law Rex in Farragut. We go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines where Lucas Panzeca of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville is standing by. Good afternoon, Lucas. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, Russ. I am fantastic. How are you guys doing?
4-0, ranked in the top 10. It's been a fun week here on Fan Run, Lucas.
It was a fun weekend in Knoxville. I drove over late Friday night and drove back super early Sunday morning, but it was worth it because, my goodness, I have not felt just a palpable atmosphere like that since, I mean, I guess you could say since 2016, but really I think I got to go back to that 2015 Oklahoma game to really draw the comparisons.
You know, I did the reverse Panzeca. I was in town for the game, did the whole thing Friday, Saturday. It was just a long 48 hours. And then for some reason, I got up and drove to Nashville for the Titans game on Sunday. I had like the perfect football weekend. My West Rebels beat Alcoa on Thursday, Lucas. Vols beat the Gators. Titans won. I mean, sure, something terrible is bound to happen now to even it all out. But
I don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You got to hang on to that. That does not. Hey, the Alcoa one is an underrated one too. That's a huge win for West. So That is awesome, man. Yeah, what a huge weekend. That does not happen very often in this state.
No doubt. You obviously on the zone, it's an NFL city now, but how much does the Vols win cut through and resonate with everything that's going on in the mid-state?
Oh, big time. I mean, it was a huge talking point all week long and in the days after it, too. I mean, even with the Titans win over the Raiders, which was a much-needed, you know, desperate win, but maybe the fact that the Titans beat the Raiders too only increased the amount of Vols talk we were able to do, because, like you guys know, it's often that the meltdowns create more of like a discussion and a frenzy than the success does. Everybody kind of just basking in the success and they want to join the conversation and talk about it and the vibes are good and everything's fun. But when things go poorly like they did for the Titans in the first 2 weeks, that's when the lines are really loaded because they want to fire everybody. So the vibes were good, and we talked a ton of Vols on Monday, Tuesday, and, I mean, even a little bit today.
Lucas Widespread Panzeca with us this afternoon. Lucas, who has the worst corner situation, the Vols or the Titans right now?
Oh, my goodness. That is a toss-up.
There's a good hot question for you tomorrow on the Zone.
That is a great question, actually. I'm going to say the Vols right now because I think the Titans are in a spot where you still have you feel like you have the talent, you know, especially with a guy like Elijah Molden still injured, that gives you a little more flexibility on being able to play Roger McCreary on the outside, kind of where you want him to end up when Molden's back in the lineup. And you got to think that the book's not written on Caleb Farley, and if it is, then that is a huge indictment on John Robinson and this franchise right now. But I think the Titans have a little bit more recourse right now, Russell. As for the Vols, I think it's just you got to hope that those guys play better.
The Farley thing is so weird. And, I mean, all off season, it sounded like you just pencil him in one of those spots, and he hasn't played much, first of all. And then they ask Vrabel about him. They ask Bowen about him. I saw a video of him talking about it. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just not using him.
It was very drastic the way they didn't use him. I mean, you're talking about picking up a guy on Wednesday of last week off the Patriots practice squad and Terrence Mitchell and saying, okay, we're going to go with him. He played the whole game. The only reason Farley got a snap on defense, played a little bit of special teams, but the only reason he got one is because Christian Fulton went down for a play. And then they brought him right back out. So it's got to be a matter of trust. It's not a matter of talent, of physicality. I mean, he has all the tools you could possibly want in a number one corner in this league. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter about being in the right place at the right time. Yeah, Terrence Mitchell might get beat, but he will at least know where to be. He'll know what vicinity to be in, and that's the only thing we can really come to a conclusion of right now is that they don't think Caleb Farley is at that point, and that's a problem. That's a problem for a guy that, like you said, was a starter all throughout training.
Well, that's crazy, Lucas, that first-round pick, guy who's been there for over a year now, steeped in that Titans system, that you're saying basically they don't trust him to know the system, and yet they can pick up a guy and he learns the system enough to be trusted within a week? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, Terrence Mitchell's a veteran. You know, he's been in this league. He's been on a bunch of different teams. He's bounced around practice squads. But he's a pro. I mean, that's as much as you can say about him right now. But it's a huge problem. It is at the moment. I don't know if it's the biggest problem this defense is facing right now. It's a huge relief for them to get Bud Dupree back. They desperately need more help on the pass rush to alleviate some of the pressure off the defensive backfield. Run defense has been a huge issue for this team through 3 weeks, and that's kind of caught all of us off guard. That's not something we anticipated. They've got some injuries at inside linebacker. So they've got some issues across the board on defense, Russell, and that is not where we thought we would be just, you know, talking about this team 3 weeks into the season as the big problem areas.
Lucas Panzeca, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, with us on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines this afternoon. And well, let's not dwell, right? The Titans won the game. The Vols won the game. It's all good. What do you think? Are the Titans back on track now? Actually, I know they're 0-3 now, but I think that Raiders team is pretty decent. I don't think they're terrible. And now you go up to Indy, and we're going to know a lot more about the Titans on Monday, right?
We should. I mean, this is a complete toss-up game to me, Titans and Colts. It's a weird sort of schedule quirk where they play the Colts this week, and then they go to Washington, and then there's the bye week, then they play the Colts again. So you get the Colts both times before you even play the Jaguars or the Texans once. So you're going to learn a lot about where you stand in the sort of disaster that is the AFC South here in these next few weeks, although the Jags are playing way better than anybody anticipated. And they're the team to beat right now in the AFC South. As crazy as that is to say, through 3 weeks, so it's a small sample size, the Jacksonville Jaguars are the team to beat. So you got to beat the Colts once or twice, probably twice, to win this division as it looks right now. And it's a huge game, and it's a toss-up to me. I mean, the Titans have struggled on run defense. Jonathan Taylor's obviously a problem. The Colts have had one of the best run defenses in the NFL, a top three run defense through the first 3 weeks. And that's obviously where the Titans want to hang their hat. It's kind of strength on strength there. So I don't know who sort of finds the edge in this game. I think it's going to come down to how much the Titans were able to affect Matt Ryan. He's obviously had a ton of issues in the pocket under pressure, playing behind what is the highest paid offensive line in the NFL in Indianapolis, but has definitely not played like it.
Coming out of the beatdown in Buffalo, there were a lot of hard takes out there about the Titans, about just the state of the franchise, the coach, the GM, the quarterback, the running back, like everything. There was a lot of, well, might be time to tear it all down and start over. And again, we'll see what happens the rest of the way, but I was looking at a thing earlier today, Lucas, and I'm sure you guys have seen this as well. The Titans lead the league in the amount of money, salary money, on injured reserve right now. And I know a lot of that is just tied up in Harold Landry and Luan. But still, I mean, that is an insane statistic, just amount of money that they're not even able to use right now on the field. What is your thoughts on that when you look at not only this year but the future of the Titans franchise? Is the future bright when you think about some of the moves, and they might be able to get some of that money with Luan and Tannehill off the books in the near future and then use that to go sign other good players? Is it premature to close the book on this era of Titans football?
It is premature because this era of Titans football is not going anywhere. I mean, as far as player personnel, things are going to change. And, I mean, Ryan Tannehill could very well be your starting quarterback next year, but I don't know that Taylor Lewan's on this football team. I don't know that Derrick Henry's on this football team a year from now when you look at how the contracts look and what they're going to want to do moving forward. But as far as John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, they're not going anywhere. We were talking about that number today. The Titans currently have over $47 million of cap money on injured reserve at the moment. And about half of that is tied up in Luan and Harold Landry, like you said. But even if you take those guys out, that's a big number. The Jags are the last team on that list in the NFL, and they've got like $1 to $2 million of cap money on IR right now, just by comparison. So it is premature to say this is the end of that era because it's not anywhere close to the end of that era. They've gotten off to bad starts before. Not 41-7 in week two bad, but they've gotten off to bad starts. And you think last year started 2-2, a loss to the Jets on the road. Everybody's panicking. And then, you know, they lose Derrick Henry for 8 games and everybody's saying season's over. And then they rattle off 3 straight. They win in L.A. and they're the number one seed in the AFC. So, you know, premature to say that. But the thing that's caught up with this team, Russell, is the lack of contribution from their draft picks,
mostly
in the last couple of years. And it is so interesting, the juxtaposition that has been how good this team has been at picking up contributors off the street versus how bad they've been to drafting guys in the first and second round. Like Dylan Raidens was a second-round pick in 2020 to be your starting right tackle to make up for the abomination that was the Isaiah Wilson pick. Well, Dylan Raidens can't even sniff a tackle spot right now, and he is a reserve guard. He is literally a third-string guard on your roster right now. And your first-round corner from that same draft can't even see the field for all but one defensive snap.
Oh.
That's a big problem. But then you bring in a guy off the street like Joe Schobert, who's a veteran in this league at inside linebacker. LaRaven Clark, the offensive lineman, is probably going to play some snaps for them this year. Probably going to play a good bit. Versatile guy. He's played a bunch of different spots across the offensive line. And you look at last year and what they were able to sort of cobble together with Deontay Foreman and just all the guys that they brought in on their way to setting an NFL record for the amount of players to suit up on an active roster. So it's just this weird thing that has butted heads with this franchise of not being good at drafting, in the first and second round. For some reason, they hit on every sixth and seventh round pick that they grab, but being able to try and make up for those issues with guys that they pick up off the waiver wire. I don't know how sustainable it is, but I do know that that's going to continue to be the path that they take this season, and they're probably going to be able to cobble together a competitive season.
Lucas Pedzeka with us. One more Titans question. Lucas, you said something there that I found interesting. You're not sure if Derrick Henry is going to be on this squad next year. I know he's, again, we're talking about a cap hit. Now, I was worried. That was my biggest fear coming out of the Buffalo game. I sort of put that aside, man. I think they are a terrific team and my Super Bowl favorite here early in the season. But my worry was that he's not recovered from the injury, that he's lost a step, and all it takes is you lose half a step in this league and you're pretty much done as a running back. I thought he showed some burst that we hadn't seen yet this season against the Raiders. I'm not ready to close the book on him just yet. What are your thoughts on King Henry's recovery so far?
No, not ready to close the book on it at all, Russell. I think Henry's been fine. I mean, the injury was never too much of a factor for me because that happened almost a year ago. It happened 11 months ago, almost to the date, on Halloween in Indianapolis, the Jones fracture in his foot, and the timetable was 6 to 10 weeks. And he was able to come back in January for the playoff game against Cincinnati. So we're several months removed from that point of when he came back at the end of that timetable where he waited basically the full 10 weeks. So I'm not worried about the foot. The foot is fine. And the run blocking, it's ironic because the run blocking has been so bad for this team this season while the pass blocking has been much improved. Ryan Tannehill's not really having to get picked up off the ground very much or in the early part of the season where it was flip-flopped last year, really the last couple of years. Henry showed some burst. They were able to get him involved in the passing game with the look the Raiders were giving them on defense. They were giving up that little dump-off screen to Henry, and they were able to take advantage. So interesting to see if we see more of that. But, no, I'm not concerned about Derrick Henry this season. But John Robinson has sort of hung his hat on just cutting guys at the right time or not being afraid to cut ties when he feels it's the right time. You saw it with Jack Conklin in hindsight. You know, Jack Conklin's playing some really good football right now on the Browns offensive line. And you saw with Jarrell Casey, Titans fans were not happy about them letting go or them trading Jarrell Casey to Denver. That turned out to be a great timing move because Casey dropped off, was injured all year, then retired a year later. So that's just why I say I wouldn't be surprised to see them move on from Henry. The issue is that is still what they're going to want to be good at on offense, built around the run game. The problem is they're not necessarily built right now to win off of that identity because of the struggles with the offensive line and in run blocking specifically. So that would be my concern if they did move on from Henry next year as far as what their next solution would be. But I'm not concerned about Derrick Henry in the short term. He looks healthy. He looks explosive. It's just about if they can get a hat on a hat in front of him and create some lanes.
Lucas, last thing, we'll let you out of here. Back to the Vols. 4-0, top 10 ranking, big game at LSU a week from Saturday. What are your thoughts on where this team is right now? We know they're not perfect. Obviously, they've got some defensive issues, but pretty good so far. Do you have a record prediction the rest of the way?
I'm going to say 10-2. When we talked before the start of the season, we both looked at the schedule and the Bama and the Georgia game as what looked like before the season the only non-winnable games for this team this year. Every other game we looked at as winnable. Does it mean they're going to win them all? No, but they are all winnable. That feels even more so the case now. We're to the point where you can have a conversation about the Alabama game, and we'll probably learn a lot more about that conversation Saturday when they're playing in Arkansas. But I'm going to stick with 10-2 at the moment. I think that's very feasible. It's on the table. And I love the bye week coming right now because they're banged up. You get Tillman back, hopefully for LSU, probably for Alabama. But I love how this schedule shakes out where you don't have this 4 to 5 week gauntlet in October of like Alabama and whatever your other SEC West opponent is and Georgia. You know what I mean? Like it's divvied up a little bit more where you come out of the bye, you have LSU, Bama, then UT Martin, then Kentucky and Georgia, and then Missouri, who's been really bad this year, and then South Carolina and Vandy to finish it out. So the way the schedule is structured, you don't have this nightmarish October that we've all gotten so used to. And I think they may be able to sort of recharge a little bit at certain points in the season to be able to win the games that they need to for maybe a Sugar Bowl berth or something like that. But I'm confident. I like where this team is right now.
Oh, man, a Sugar Bowl. Lucas, we might have to meet up down on Bourbon Street if that's able to come to fruition.
No doubt. No doubt.
Do it. All right. Lucas Piazica. Oh, hey, about 50 days until the World Cup, my friend.
Oh, I'm so ready. I'm ready to be waking up at 4 in the morning to watch a game between Saudi Arabia and Switzerland or whoever they're playing.
Yes.
I don't care. I don't care how much of a wrench it throws into my daily life, my sleep schedule, my work schedule. It's going to happen, and I cannot wait. I'm going to have to put aside my anger and objections to what's happening with this World Cup that is being played in the winter and in Qatar and all that stuff. When it actually kicks off, I'm going to be all in once again. It's just my favorite thing on the planet in the sports world.
All those games kick off like an hour before. All the United States games kick off an hour before we go on the air, 2 o'clock local time. So
interesting.
It is interesting, right? I don't know how we're going to play that. I've got some time to figure it out, I guess. But we'll talk some soccer next time we get you on here, Lucas. Appreciate your time today, my friend.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. See you guys.
At Lucas Piazica on Twitter. He's with 104.5 The Zone in Nashville and the Titans Radio Network, and a proud graduate of the Fan Run Radio Broadcasting Academy, or the FBA, if you will. Good stuff with Lucas. A lot to unpack there. We'll do it when we continue next. You're listening to The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
A good night's sleep. We all want one every night. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Lucas Piazica, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Bear, what did you learn?
It wasn't so much learned, but I saw that same graphic that you guys saw early, and that's not a list you want to be number one on. The dead money we've got tied up and injured players right now, the Titans do, between Taylor Lewan and Saden Ross, who was out for the year. I thought he'd be back in a couple of weeks.
It's the same knee, too.
I mean, what are the Titans going
to? I think they let him go. I think he's done with the Titans.
You think that the Titans are going to have to pull a pretty major rebuild?
No. I with Lucas, I think that will. I mean, he's got a max contract, to borrow an NBA term, and so that money comes off the books. You're going to go out there and get yourself two players for what he cost you,
right?
And we'll see what they do with Tannehill. I'm not with Lucas. Maybe they get rid of Henry, but I think it's more likely they get rid of Tannehill. And if they think Willis can handle it, and then you use the money from those two to go out there and buy, you know, four more players, you bring back Landry. You keep rolling, man. You do what the Patriots have. Maybe I shouldn't use that. Maybe they're done at this point. But remember, for the longest time, they just
reloaded.
Turning over and turning over for about 15 years. And I know we don't have Brady and we're not winning all those Super Bowls, but they've lived in the playoffs for 3 years now. I still think they have a great chance to make the playoffs this year on virtue of just that division is garbage. And I think they'll hang around and keep this thing rolling. I like the steadiness. After what they went through post-McNair and before 2019, just 10 years lost in the wilderness, I'm perfectly fine having a solid 10-win-a-season type crew that runs the AFC South and goes to the playoffs about every year. That's fine with me. Yes, I would love to win a Super Bowl.
If you're doing that, one of those years, you're going to make a run.
Yeah, I think they will.
Deep into the playoffs. It's kind of like you just got to keep getting there. So I don't think Henry's lost anything. I think the offense has changed. But he had plays the other day where he looked just like the Derrick Henry I've watched for years now.
Well, he hadn't hit a home run since the injury.
He's working up to one. I thought he was going to do it on that one pass play that looked like it was going for nothing. And the next thing you know, it's like That's got to be a scary feeling. It's 15 yards later, and he's working himself up in his full speed, and good luck getting him down.
Back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go, and Trey is up next. Good afternoon, Trey.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
It's a bright, beautiful day. You know, we're going to keep our ranking through another weekend. I mean, not much to complain about. Hey, quick question. Did you guys ever do – I suggested this like a year ago. I know we've kind of got a dead week, but, you know, this week as far as Tennessee, you know, news goes. But did you ever do the retelling of all the past stories of all the losers that have coached here, like Butch and Pruitt, all the stories you've heard over the years?
Yeah, that's pretty much been our show for 10 years,
yeah.
Trey. I mean, I know what you're saying, like the specific stories of their incompetence and just general dumbassery. That feels like a summertime show. I don't want to go down there. Like, I don't want to bring myself down on this week. It's been such a great week. It's been so long.
Now that we're here, Russell, it's not as bad to look back. Now we can look back and laugh. You know, if we weren't sitting where we're at this year, then yeah, I mean, I understand it would depress you, but now you can actually look back and, you know, get a chuckle out of it, and
I'm looking forward.
Hey, I'm looking forward this weekend. I'm going up to Cherokee, and I'm going to play some poker. So, hey, maybe I'll run into Pruitt himself up there.
There you go, up there at Harris. So, okay.
Yeah. So, I know he likes to roam those tables. So
say hi for us if you do.
All right.
Oh, I sure will. I'll pass along all the, you know, the
pleasantries,
well wishes from the fan base. Pleasantries for sure. I'm surprised that he can play openly somewhere like that this close to Tennessee and not fear for his life. But anyway, guys, if the other thing I want to talk about, if Harsin's out at Auburn, who do you think we should try to get from their roster? Because, obviously all the vultures will come out, and I'm hoping that with Spire we could really, and where we're at this year, that we'd have a really good chance to pull some of those guys. Who would you like to see us get? I know you're not Auburn football experts, but.
Well, Bigsby's the obvious one, but I think he's his third year. I think he'll probably go pro. Just looking at their roster real quick, I mean, there's nobody that jumps out. I mean, that's probably part of the guy's problem is, he doesn't have a ton of excellent players down there, but I'm sure they've got some prospects that you're going to be looking at. And that's an excellent point, Trey, because somebody brought that up to me last night. We were talking yesterday about, you're looking at everybody, you're looking at Miami and Florida State and Auburn's list and anybody that's been fired, you're looking at their commitment list. But in the day and age of the transfer portal, and there's no one-year sit out, not only that, you're looking at their recruits, you're looking at their rosters. Yeah. And just, who do you want? And that is an excellent point. There are guys we've never heard of who are really good players that are going to be on Tennessee's team next year. And I don't know where they are, but that happens, and that will happen. And I'm sure that, they've got guys who, like, that's their job, right, is sit around and watch film and raid rosters and all that stuff. So I guarantee you that stuff is happening behind the scenes as we speak.
Yeah, if we could get a few cornerbacks or maybe that I know he's not from Auburn, but that receiver from Missouri. I don't know how, if you're him, I don't know how you don't come here. If you want to ball out and go to the league, man, I mean, we're your ticket. So I've heard on the message boards, people saying that, based on who's leaving this year, we can end up taking a slight step back next year. But I think if we play the portal right, I think we could really, after this showing so far, if we keep this up, I think we could really, have a much more solid team next year. So I'm looking forward to that. But hey, I'll let somebody else get on here. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you, Trey. I mean, it's such a great point. Like, who's Brew McCoy next year? Where's the next hooker? Who else? Haddon has been hit or miss so far. But
Milton. I'm expecting to be the starter next year.
Well, I'm talking about guys who are on other rosters right now that will be on our roster this time next year.
Oh, there's no telling, man.
That's the fun little X factor of modern college
football. It also makes you pay attention to, like, I've caught myself watching, like, lower-level games.
Really?
For more than 5 minutes just seeing if anybody jumps out.
Guy. Yeah. Bathe him and bring him to me.
Someone contact Coach Heupel.
Let's get Rusty in here before the top of the hour. Good afternoon, Rusty. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Thanks, man.
What's up?
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody's at James Madison or Middle Tennessee State. Those teams seem to be able to, like, you know, play on a big stage. So.
Sure.
Maybe there's some kids either one of those.
Wasn't there a DB on Middle from last year that thought we were going to get, and I guess didn't. I don't even remember the name.
The only one I remember is that Verse kid that's playing for damn Florida State.
Yeah.
We really use him.
Well, maybe let's go get him. Hey, they fired Norvell. Let's get him. Bring him home.
Yeah, he should have been here already.
Yeah.
He should have been here already, and Tank Bigsby should have been here already. That kid made the worst decision I can ever remember. Just – no reason whenever he was already in the portal to go back to Auburn.
Oh, I thought you were talking about when he didn't go out, when he went out of bounds in the Iron Bowl. He's made two of the worst decisions we've ever seen, like back to back.
Yeah. At least one's in the moment where, you know, your brain kind of shuts off or whatever. But my goodness. Ugh. Staying with that mess down there when you're in the portal and you could be playing in our offense, just doing crazy. I will say this. I'm guessing Auburn has three quarterbacks on their roster that we could coach, that we could all make, that Josh Heupel could make probably look in the vicinity of Hendon Hooker. Because I think he would do that with basically anybody he gets to play quarterback. That's our guy.
I don't know, man. I don't want to sell these kids short. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But, you know, again, I just wonder, man, what's it going to look like when we do have elite five-star talent at all of these positions, if they can get there.
It's going to be scary. Terrifying to deal with.
The Missouri kid catching some balls in space for us would be a treat. The kid, the running back at Texas A&M, I don't know if you guys have seen him, and I cannot remember his name. He wears six.
About Ashane, whoever?
Yeah, the true freshman out of that $22 million class.
Oh.
That kid is – he reminds me of C.J. Spiller the first time I saw him at Clemson whenever he was just, like, taking angles away from people, however long ago that was. It was just – that kid at A&M is frightening. He's all they got. I mean, Max Johnson's doing the best he can, and Jimbo still can't call plays in today's football. But
they also lost to Nass.
When that kid has space, my God. It jumps off the page at you. You really need to check him out. He's never leaving down there.
Rusty, appreciate it, man. We got to run.
Later. I know you're up against it.
Thank you. Appreciate you, dude. We'll talk tomorrow. Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number three coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, Big Orange Country.